RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time for another Tech Tuesday here at RCR, and Stephen Sykes is back with us. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. Didn't get away the past weekend, like the weekend before, to Invercargill. So the big Dunedin trip is being planned at the moment.
Okay.
Yep. A friend of mine, he's still got it, has in his ownership, he's had it for about 20 years, a classic Dunedin city bus. And it's still got the paint job.
The original one?
Yeah, original. And yep. It was a Leyland vehicle. And I think it was a Panther, because they had Leyland Leopards and Leyland Panthers and Leyland Tigers. They were the chassis engine combinations. And the weight of the coach body on it. The Panther was designed, especially for Dunedin because of the steep streets and the narrow streets. But steep streets, so they have a lighter, I think they're made of aluminium substantially, the bodywork, lighter body to get up and around Dunedin streets. So there you go. So anyone ever asks, the Panther was the version used for Dunedin.
Did they test it on Baldwin Street?
Well, you mean the steepest one in the universe?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. But, you know, being from Wellington, not to get too distracted, but and being a bus fan, being from Wellington, you know, some of the bus routes around the hills of Wellington are incredible. You wonder how they get a bus around there. And they were doing that back in the day, you know, with the brakes. And also on the old Wainui Hill, the old Bedford Railways buses, you get stuck behind one. Not only would you get blasted with fumes because they were petrol driven, but they'd only do about 5 miles an hour, and you can hear the engines doing about 6,000 RPMs going up, and then going down, you know, you wonder if the brakes are about to catch fire. And this is all 40s, 50s technology, mate, back in the day. So, you know, but the Panther, she's a pretty smooth machine. I think he told me it had done 1.2 million miles. And it's
impressive.
Yeah. So that's how they get around. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that, unless you've got some techo bus story. Though I was looking at Bus Simulator the other day. There's Bus Simulator where you can drive famous bus routes on your simulator. The graphics are great. All the London City routes are in there. And you can expansion pack it to LA and New York. And I haven't tried it yet. I'm a flight sim guy, but Bus Sim had me tempted. Anyway, let's start with the feedback. Who have we been hearing from, Stephen?
So it's following up from the Inland Revenue leak, somebody has said that in listening to me talk about the OIA, in a case involving personal information, using the Privacy Act to request such information is more powerful. If I was Stephen, I'd resend the request under the Privacy Act. I don't know how that works, but that has me intrigued.
Okay. Well, I suppose you creatively use the tools available. It's like the OIA requests. You know, sometimes it's how you ask the question rather than the question itself. You know, there are clever ways of asking it, basically to fool them into giving you the information.
Yes, yes.
Anyway.
Yep, definitely. Right. Somebody has, Phyllis has written in to say that she's been listening to the CBD series and thinking it's time to sort my laptop and phone so I can still listen to RCR, of course, but not be tracked by Google/Microsoft/them. Is there a one-hit recommendation you can give for which brand of phone laptop, or is buying secondhand okay if the battery life is okay and install Linux software? Well, yeah, you need to go for a de-Googled phone because everything else is no good. And if you wish, you can buy things off the shelf, or if you want to, you can reach out to me and I can help you with that. And also, I've been doing Linux since the late 90s. So again, if that's something else that you want help with, reach out. Yeah. But yes, take those steps.
What's that Four Top song, Reach Out, I'll Be There?
Oh, it rings a bell.
That's you. That's you.
Is it?
That's you. Yeah, okay. Reach out and I'll be there.
Oh, all right. Another one.
And there's one more.
Yeah, so a listener wrote in to say that they'd noticed the New World Privacy Policy had changed in September. And fortunately, we have tools available to us where we can compare one privacy policy version with another one. That's called the Wayback Machine, which happened to feature in the news lately because the Wayback Machine, also known as the Internet Archive, got compromised where the authentication database of 31 million users was compromised. But that aside, so we can take the privacy policy, we can go back in the calendar on the Wayback Machine. It's an incredibly useful tool, and maybe we'll spend a whole session talking about it. But you can go, well, here's a URL, show me the changes over time. So I picked one back in February and then picked one, the latest version of this privacy policy in September, and the Wayback Machine has a changes function. So it will show you the bits of text that have been taken away and show you other parts that have been added in. So when you compare the two, basically the changes are that they have New World have updated their privacy policy to remove FR or facial recognition from being a trial to something that's actually being implemented. So, they say that it's now being used in selected stores, and in the trial version and now the implemented version, this one piece of text that remains, and I find it incredulous, and I'll read it to you. It says, each FR store will have signage to notify you that it uses facial recognition technology in its store. If you do not want your personal information to be collected by the FR system, please do not enter a FR store. Like, what?
Well, like, don't be a customer.
Yes. They're basically saying, we don't want your custom
patronage. It's more like an FU than an FR.
It is. It's, we don't want your custom, your patronage, your money, go away. That's how I read that.
No, that's how I would too. Are they crazy?
Oh, maybe. Conversely, Woolworths on their website still say that they have a question, you know, do you use facial recognition technology? And they say, no. We don't have facial recognition cameras in our stores. We do have other cameras for safety and security purposes, which is around probably license plate recognitions when you go park in the parking lot.
Yeah, but they should still say that.
Yeah, but and I think they do elsewhere. But
For
New World to say, don't come in if you don't like it, like, what?
Well, I'd say, okay, then, I'm not coming in. All right, you lost me. Yeah. I'm going to countdown now, never going back to you.
Actually, I think these days we don't say Kent and we say Woolworths.
Oh, look, it takes me a while to change.
It does.
And because I don't watch the normie media, I don't get hit with the ad campaign, so I don't even know what's happening. I don't even know what the weather forecast is anymore. Stephen, I don't care. It's going to be what it is anyway. Though every now and then I'll catch Philip Duncan and I'll think, I wonder if he's going to be right this weekend, and he usually is.
Mm.
So, you've got to be plugged in to know these things are even happening. All right. We were going, I think last week we agreed that we would have substantially or all news as a feature because things have been happening and we've had some pretty good features lately. But let's catch up on some news. The smart TV is watching you.
Well, a study that has been done by the University of California looked at ACR. Now, ACR was something I talked about in the cage back on June the 18th. It's automatic contact recognition. And they looked at this in the two most popular smart TV brands, that being Samsung and LG. What they discovered was that Samsung smart TVs are taking a screenshot of what it's displaying every 500 milliseconds, or twice a second if you like. LG smart TVs were doing it every 10 milliseconds, and this can include audio. They discovered that what was being captured depended on whether you lived in the UK versus the USA, and they were the two places that they compared, and they felt it was the General Data Protection Act in the UK that kind of caused the scaling back of there not being quite as much privacy robbing, for want of a better term. Of course, this is all done for the intent to sell you ads. And what they discovered the TVs were doing is that they would take these screenshots and audio grabs when you were watching live TV and when you had something plugged into to the TV's HDMI port. So if you were, you know, you were gaming or you plugged your computer into the TV because you wanted to do some work at home and you wanted to use a large TV instead of a little tiny monitor, then if you were doing work-related stuff, then that's bad from the point of view that commercial property or intellectual property, rather.
Because they could snap the screen, right? It could be your bank details or anything.
Yep, all of that stuff.
Mm.
And so Thorin Kowalski from the Electronic Frontier Foundation said to New Scientist publication that the ACR is opaque, and it's quoted as saying that consent for this level of surveillance is buried deep in the terms and conditions you agree to during setup. So I highly doubt most people are aware of the extent of the tracking. And you can actually opt out of the ACR tracking. However, like on many Samsung devices, you've got to go through 37 clicks in order to weed your way through the menu to find
the option to turn off. No one's going to do that. No one's going to do that.
Well, you shouldn't be opting in by default.
No. Yeah, it's got to be always. In fact, that should be the rule no matter what. Doesn't matter what it is.
They take advantage of the fact that people don't read terms and conditions and privacy policies. They put it in there to say, this is what we're doing, because you didn't read it and you went along with it. So it's
fine. So you're the mug.
You're the mug
who didn't do your due diligence like you should have.
Exactly. And interestingly, in the publication that the university created, this relates to what Inland Revenue were trying to downplay with hashing that we talked about last time. So what they've said in their results of their study, and I'll quote this, fingerprints and automatic content recognition are essentially hash of the content. That's what they mean by fingerprints, is a hash of the content, which can be matched at the server side to identify the content. However, the fact that the hash of the content rather than the raw content is being sent to the ACR servers does not necessarily make the data anonymous. So, IRD, can you please explain why you are saying it's not a problem when everyone else is saying that it is?
Okay, taking control of Kia Kahas.
Yes.
All right.
So an ethical hacking group did some work where they have been able to, and they've published this, they are able to take control of a motor vehicle manufactured by Kia, made from the year 2013 onwards, using only the license plate identifier. So what they do, they built a system whereby, and this is in the US, they built an app that they can do on their phone. If you see the license plate of any Kia vehicle, you can enter that into the app, and then allows them to take control of the car. The way this works is that, you know how we've got CarJam and you can look up information about a New Zealand-based vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in their US equivalent of that, they get the VIN, the vehicle identification number, from the US version of our CarJam, and then they do a software query with the Kia dealership. And then they're using the VIN number they've acquired from somewhere else, and then they'll be able to connect to the car. So what can they do? Well, they can unlock the doors, they can honk the horn, and if the vehicle is fitted with 360-degree cameras that people like to use when they're trying to park their vehicles into very tight spots, they can see what the cameras can see as well. And because they're an ethical group, they contacted Kia, like, hey, here's what we've discovered. You might want to fix this. Kia didn't reply, but they did fix it. And when I say fix it, I mean fix it in inverted commas, because they weren't able to access these software APIs anymore. However, the fact that the data still existed, or it still exists, means that other people who work in the dealership can do this themselves.
Yeah. Wow. Well, at least you can't, you know, alter the steering or put the brakes on or do anything.
This relates to a few weeks ago when we talked about CAN buses and vehicles.
Yep. Yeah, that was an interesting one. Yeah. Boy, so there's all sorts of vulnerabilities, but you don't think that someone could take control of your car. It's crazy to think about that.
The kicker with this is that, a lot of modern vehicles, they have SIM cards in them, so they can connect to the internet, and that's how they're able to remotely go back to the car.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's how they do it.
So you don't even have to be using a Kia app in order to connect to your car, so you don't even have to use that service.
Yeah, it can be bypassed totally.
Yeah, so they were able to still manipulate the vehicle anyway.
You could play games with people, couldn't you? If you had the camera feed and the locks, you could have the locks going up and down all the time, you know, and they're trying to figure out what the hell's going on, and you're watching them on the camera, like, yeah, this is great.
Well, actually, funny you should say that, because when these guys were talking about what they'd done, they could, you know, have fun with somebody. So if you are lined up at a McDonald's drive-through, and there's a Kia in front of you, and you go, oh, just like log into that vehicle and I'll just start honking the horn. And they'll go, what the hell?
Oh, dear.
Same thing with the door locks.
Okay, interesting. Coca-Cola and Microsoft have teamed up. That seems, well, some might say a very unlikely combination, but others might say, yeah, of course they would. What's that about?
Well, they say that they've embarked on a 5-year collaboration, this is Coca-Cola, to harness generative AI technology across its fundamental operations, or so it's reported, with a commitment of $1.1 billion towards the Microsoft Cloud and its Gen AI capabilities, including Microsoft 365 and Azure services. Coca-Cola say they aim to enhance efficiency and scalability within its systems. And they say that it extends beyond a financial investment, as Coca-Cola plan to integrate Gen AI digital assistants powered by Azure OpenAI service into various aspects of its business, from customer experiences to supply chain optimization.
Okay, yeah.
What?
Well, I can imagine supply chain optimization, but yes. What about the customer experience? I mean, okay, so I've had a can of Coke Zero. What experience are you going to sell me beyond that?
Well, that's weird. So, like, when I read this announcement, it's like, well, I don't buy Coca-Cola products.
It's more than just Coke. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they own quite a lot of soft drink.
Every junk food.
Companies. Yeah.
Yeah. So, every diabetes causing junk food, substance. Processed food. Yeah.
I think they also own water bottle companies too. Actually.
Okay. All right. What's in that? Okay. So Azure is a huge platform globally.
Yes. And did you know that most systems that run on Azure are actually Linux?
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay. So they put $1.5 billion into it, did you say?
$1.1 billion.
$1.1, yeah.
But hey, what's $0.4 billion between friends?
Yeah, exactly. All right. You whet our appetite with this one last episode. The optical disc with gazillions of terabytes of storage. Have I got that right? What's all that about?
Yeah, so you might think that optical media is kind of a dead thing in this day and age, but
laser discs.
Yeah.
Remember them.
Well, Blu-ray discs up until now have stored the most data. A standard Blu-ray disc will hold between 25 and 50 gigabytes. But if you've got a 4K Blu-ray disc, also known as Ultra HD, they can be discs that can hold up to 128 gigabytes.
Oh, okay. Wow.
However, researchers at the University of Shanghai for Science and Technology have sort of blown that out of the water, and they have found a way to stuff an entire petabyte onto an optical disc of the same petabyte. Physical size.
Okay. How much is a petabyte? Is it like 1,000 terabytes or something?
125,000 gigabytes.
Okay. Well, all right. Yeah, that's a bit. Yep.
That's quite a lot. So what they've managed to do is they've using a 54 nanometer laser, they managed to record 100 layers onto an optical disc, because usually the discs are just sort of 2D, but they've managed to go for 100 layers, and each tier on the disc is separated by 1 micrometer.
Crikey, which is nothing.
Tiny. It's tiny.
Yeah. That might even be about the same size as the coronavirus, which is why no one ever saw one, you know, at that scale. Boy, the hardware to burn, because they're burnt, it burns the disc, right? Like used to have with CDs and things like that. So the accuracy of that would have to be incredible, but to also retrieve it, you'd have to have one hell of a mechanism, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and they've actually needed to create a new material in order to be able to write the data to it. For the sake of brevity, we will call it AIE DDPR, or if you want the full version, it's called Diadoped Photoresist with Aggregation-Induced Emission Lumigens. But the abbreviation is probably easier to say.
Wow, never stops, does it?
No, it doesn't.
What's the commercial application, though? Because you can accumulate that sort of storage with solid state drives as well, can't you?
Yeah, although to think of like how much a petabyte is in another way, according to ZME Science, the data sets that they used to train generative AI can include roughly 5.8 billion index web pages, which totals 56 petabytes of data. So hypothetically, instead of relying on energy-hungry data centers, you could conceivably fit all ChatGPT's training material in one of those retro CD album cases from the 2000s and just chuck a few of those disks in there. But you're not going to get it anytime soon, though.
No. And, of course, those first-generation hardware is usually incredibly expensive, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It takes time to, you know, for investment to be recuperated and all that kind of stuff.
Yep. All right, and to finish up, digital ID, Apple wallets, confirmed for California residents. Of course, yep. California. Of course.
Yeah, so if you want to get California residents to get them nudged into a CBD-style kind of future, Apple have confirmed that Californians can soon carry their driver's licenses and their state IDs digitally on their iPhone and their Apple Watch. And it's part of the rollout for California's MDL, or Mobile Driver's License, pilot program.
That's where it all starts.
This is where it all starts. So it was rumored early in August, but it's now confirmed.
Okay, so, and that's to stay with the motoring analogies, that's the on-ramp, is it, to expanding that out to other things, state services, let's say.
Yeah, I don't know if that was an intended pun or not when you said the on-ramp and then we're talking about...
No, it was. It was.
Okay.
It's a good one, but it was. Yeah.
It was, yeah, I noticed.
It's
to let people basically with the Transport Security Administration for checkpoints and businesses, and they're also using it for age verification, of course, and they say it's meant to make physical IDs completely obsolete. But California's not actually the first.
Oh.
So there's 5 other states: Arizona, Maryland, Colorado, Georgia, and Ohio have already done the driver's licenses and state IDs into the Apple Wallet.
Okay. Just a matter of time, Stephen, before they'll be selling it to us, and it'll be the convenience of the driver's license and things like that. That's where it will start, I'm predicting. And anyone who says, we don't want this, they'll be dismissed as, oh, well, you're anti-progress and good luck with your old driver's license and that sort of thing.
Well, I'd be saying, well, it's not necessarily the idea I have a problem with, it's the implementation.
Yeah, but there's always the problem.
It is always the problem. And
yep. Great idea. In fact, it's too good. Okay, well, I think that's our Tech Tuesday. Anything else, Stephen, or are we done? And we'll catch up again in a week.
Yep, sounds good to me.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.